Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of Inside the Auditorium, Women in Audit. I'm pleased to welcome Sally Goodian, who has just recently changed roles to become the Chief Internal Auditor for the Nottingham Building Society. With juggling six children in her blended family, we talk about how to build a career and how to stay top of your game. Hey, and welcome to Inside the Auditorium. Perhaps you can introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your career.
Hi, Hazel. Yeah, thanks for having me. Really excited to be joining you today. Sally Goodian. I am currently Chief Internal Audit Officer at Nottingham Building Society. I'm on day eight, so very new to the role. I've had a number of different roles in external audit, consulting, internal audit, and some first line roles and second line roles too. So quite a varied career, but enjoying a return to internal audit for the last 3 years.
And tell me, what made you, because you've done your degree in law, so what actually made you not choose the law path and go into external audit?
I was, I really enjoyed my law degree, learnt loads, really interesting topic. And I think at the time when I was looking at different options, I'd looked at obviously legal careers, and I'd also looked at accounting careers. It was quite a natural move in terms of using those skills and knowledge from the law. I did revenue law as part of my degree at the end, and it sort of tweaked an interest in terms of exploring other areas as well. So at the time, it was a big six accountancy firms, and I applied and was successful, and joined Ernst & Young straight from university, straight into their Leicester office, as it was, which doesn't exist anymore, but into their Leicester office and joined external audit and started my accountancy qualifications. And it was all completely new to me. Yeah, I was a bit of a fish out of water, but yeah, really enjoyed it, really had a good experience.
And then you moved to BMW, and you had quite, throughout your career, you've had quite a long stint in the same companies and moving around into different roles. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, it was when I finished my, I spent 3 years at Ernst & Young, and I did actually have a few short-term roles. It's interesting, my career was sort of a few short-term roles at the beginning and then some longer tenures at the end. But I did go into internal audit at Rolls-Royce Aerospace. I was there for a year, and I also did forensic accounting back with Ernst & Young. But I really enjoyed internal audit. I enjoyed being part of an organisation. I've been, you know, and be able to influence and support the organisation. So, and it was just a move to the south from the Midlands, and the opportunity to come at BMW, and I just really grabbed it. It was a fantastic opportunity. Small audit function, but covering, you know, a wide variety of different audit areas, from manufacturing to finance, brand, all sorts of different topics in the UK and abroad as well. So it was, I think it was the pull of the brand. Everyone sort of likes a strong brand, and it was Rolls-Royce and Mini as well as BMW. So I got some really good sort of experience in all the different brands, and just the opportunity to join a small audit team and really sort of roll your sleeves up and support the organisation as well.
And when you say that you travelled, did you go over on any secondments, or was it more that you went and travelled doing audits for 2 weeks at a time or what have you?
Yeah, it was more guest auditing. So audits in Germany, audits in sort of Ireland, the US and other areas. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity. You could do as much or as little as travel as you really wanted to. So it was a good opportunity to get to know the wider organisation, but also obviously audit in those cultures as well.
Okay, great. And then obviously you moved from BMW to Nationwide Building Society. And what made you sort of decide to go from, motor manufacturing to building society, and perhaps how your skill set from one industry to the other, how that linked?
Yeah, I mean, when I was at BMW for 10 years, and the majority of that time was internal audit, so 8 years internal audit. And then I took a couple of first-line roles as, you know, it was a really good introduction into the business, into first line, and also into people management. I think a lot of the time in internal audit, you don't get that opportunity, particularly in small audit teams, to lead teams. And I really enjoyed that opportunity as well. And BMW had a financial services arm, a leasing, in terms of wholesale and retail leasing. So I got involved in some audits in that area, and I was just interested in sort of tweaked my interest, I guess, in terms of financial services more generally. And then it was just a massive decision to leave BMW. I really enjoyed it. You know, great people, great brand, great organization to work for. And for personal reasons, I was relocating. And, you know, Nationwide is a really big employer in the Southwest, near Swindon. And I had the financial services experience to an extent, obviously quite a different scale. And I think it is transferable. I think audit skills are, you know, audit skills are audit skills. And I think that's the beauty of working in this area, is that you can move between organisations, you can work around organisations. When I was at BMW, as I said, I audited so many different areas, and you're not an expert in any of those areas. You're not an SME in most of those areas. The people you're speaking to are the SMEs, but you have to, you know, it's a skill to quickly learn, to quickly understand, and, you know, to have the right conversations. And I think that was why it was a steep learning curve to join Nationwide. I joined in a second line team. I joined in compliance advice. And that was, you know, a really steep learning curve, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoy change. I enjoy taking on new opportunities and getting to know an organisation, a larger financial services organisation, and all the opportunities and challenges that it has was a really great opportunity at the time.
Because compliance as well, though, they do mirror, but you was working compliance and then your audit director, then you went into an audit director role with Nationwide. Was that more, what type of role was that? Was that looking more at the strategy and change, or was that in particularly a product area?
It was a number of different. I had a few different audit director roles at Nationwide. So I was in the compliance team for 8 years. Did a number of roles in there as well, in sort of investigations and whistleblowing and other things as well. And then I actually went on maternity leave about 3.5 years ago. And I think it was just an interesting process. When you go on maternity leave, you tie everything up neatly and you hand it over to someone to look after the role while you're away. And I think in the process of doing that, it just was a sort of a natural break, and it made me just think about what's my next step. And it was purely by chance that I saw the audit director role advertised, and obviously I had an internal audit background, and applied and was successful. So the initial portfolio that I looked after was, you know, a lot of it was around strategy and change, third parties and different areas, some of the support functions across the society. And then about after 18 months, I moved into a different portfolio, which was much more around sort of retail mortgages, customer. So I got some really good experience, you know, looking, you know, and that's the beauty. And I know that, you know, a number of your guests have said before, is the beauty of an internal audit role is you have a helicopter view and you get to see so much of the organisation. And it is a unique role, and it's a privileged role in terms of the exposure and the knowledge that you gain and the influence that you can have as well. So I think moving between those different audit director roles was a really good experience. Different stakeholders, different ways of working as well. So
sure. And to be honest, that's why I love recruiting internal audit as well, because I'm looking at audit across all functions. You know, everybody's different. It's not just, you know, IT or finance. And okay, fantastic. And obviously now you're with Nottingham Building Society, so congratulations on your new
Thank
role.
You.
And tell me, what was it that particularly enticed you to move from Nationwide then and take on this position? Because notably, currently, I don't obviously know how, if you're going to scale up the team, but it is actually a smaller team. How has that come about?
It was purely by chance. I'd just taking on different roles within Nationwide, really enjoying my time in audit. And I was approached about the role at the Nottingham. And I think what was really biggest attraction for me, there's a number of different things apart from the people that I met with, and the energy and the enthusiasm that they have across the team to actually grow grow the organisation. I think it was just, the ambitions and to want to work in a different type of organisation where you can probably have more direct influence. I'm part of Exco now, which is a great opportunity for me to see, you know, to be in a chief internal audit role, to understand how the mechanisms, the culture, the politics of an Exco, how the internal audit role within that. But also, I tend to think of it as more like a challenger mutual, as in, it's an organisation that's got lots of ambition and lots of potential. And I think it is a fantastic opportunity to work with them, to really support them, deliver on their strategy. And also the audit function, at the moment, it's just me and the audit function. It's been outsourced. And to have a blank piece of paper, when you're working in a wider audit function, there's always things that you would do differently. And, if you were able to redesign things or do things. So I think just having a blank piece of paper and being able to set up it will always be a small audit function, but a function to influence it, to design it how you want it, and to support, to make sure it really supports the business, I think is a really exciting opportunity as well.
And do you think that, obviously the nationwide adverts, which I loved, they're keeping their branches, and do you think that sort of myth is going that building societies are here to stay, and what will sort of build out more just in general?
I think so, no, definitely. And I think that's obviously I've stayed in the mutual sector, and it was, I think I've enjoyed the fact that I've been able to stay in the mutual sector. I do, at Nationwide, it is, a really strong, obviously, it's the largest building society in the world. That mutual ethos runs throughout the organisation. It did throughout the 10 years I was there. And I think, even with the new, obviously new management in the last few years, that their commitment to stay in mutual is really, really strong. And with the potential acquisition of Virgin Money, which is obviously in the news, is, that would make them such, a large mutual that can continue to challenge the banks. And I think it's healthy in the financial services industry to have, larger mutuals that have a different approach potentially. And you've got, Coventry that's looking at the co-op. So, I think the rise of mutuals and the mutual sector is, it's exciting as well in terms of it is, it's a different construct. You don't have shareholders in terms of how you design your strategy and your approach and your decision making. And I think, I would say, because I've worked in that sector, but the focus on the customer is squarely there. And I think that's a great place to be in financial services.
And I know that you're a big advocate of moving around your career in terms of the three lines of defence. Why is that? Is it and was there a particular? I know you're in audit now, but was there when you thought about your career, was there a particular reason that you thought, right, in 10 years I'm going to be X, Y, Z, and you use these roles to navigate? Did you have a plan?
No. I think even if I had a plan, I wouldn't never, I don't think careers work like that. I think you do your best to forge opportunities for yourself. But I think a lot of it is sometimes being in the right place at the right time, putting yourself in a good position to really be able to embrace those opportunities. And I think it's, I'm a person that likes change. Even though I stayed at the same organisations for a long period of time, I've taken different roles within those organisations. And I think that's just, for me, that's important to me because I like learning, I like developing, I like different challenges. And I think, all of those, the organisations I've worked in have been bigger and given me those opportunities. And I think it's just being willing to embrace them. I've had a family throughout those years as well. And I think that does have an impact on your career, and I think not for everyone, but it did for me. And I think it's, I do think of my, slightly more of my career is, I've been really proud of all the different achievements I've had in my career, but I've got, a lot left, many years ahead of me. And I'm really excited about probably slightly a late bloomer, I think, sometimes in my career that I've always been ambitious, but I've always tried to balance, my responsibilities with family life and career. And I think it's, I think I've managed that really well. And I'm just being able to embrace the right opportunities at the right time for myself and my family, I think, is really important.
And tell me, what would you think sort of your career to date has been your biggest achievement then?
I don't think there's one thing that I would. There's things that I'm really proud of that I've achieved in terms of influencing change within functions, within organisations. The role that I really, really enjoyed at Nationwide is I really developed the whistleblowing team, which I think I'm really passionate about. I think it's really important that people feel able to speak up in an organisation, and I was really proud of the work that we did over I was there for a few years in terms of growing and shaping and developing that function. And I know a lot of obviously whistleblowing teams sit within audit as well. And I think there's no one thing that I've achieved. I think I'm probably proud that I've managed to navigate change well. I think that's probably a really important part of anyone's career, is that you embrace change, you don't fight it, you make the most of it, you create it, and you know, there's lots of different changes that will come to you organizationally and personally, wherever it might be. And I think it's just having a really positive approach to that, and being able to support organizations through change, people through change, teams through change. So I think that sort of, yeah, that ability to manage change has probably been really enjoyable, but really sometimes quite an achievement in my career as well.
Sure. And obviously we mentioned earlier that offline that you've got, with your partner, you've got 6 children.
Yes.
That, which actually gives me anxiety even thinking about that. So, you know, you must have to do quite a lot of negotiation at home and, you know.
No, it is. Between us, we have 6, so it's a blended family, sort of come together in the last 5 years. Yeah, so they range from 18 years to 3 years. I don't know. I've got a female partner, and it's between the two of us. We're really busy. We have, you know, busy careers, but we just make it work. I think we're just super organized, but also really careful to make sure that we always, one of us is, you know, is there to support the children, to prioritize. And they're quite self-sufficient, surprisingly, as well. They can, you know, not the 3-year-old, but some of the teenagers are very, very self-sufficient as well. So it just works.
And so tell me, because you did have your last child quite later, you know, in life, if we can say, and you know, did you find that going back to work, was you sort of quite mentally prepared for that with the support and, you know, that you felt that maybe no responsibility would have been taken away from you, or how you get back into the swing of things?
Yeah, I think because I was 45 when I had my little boy, and who's 3 now, and I think it's as an older mum anyway, I think you tend to be more relaxed. I think generally you know, it's not, and my first children were twins. So that's quite a different whirlwind of an experience as well. So I think having one was, it felt a lot easier. You're more relaxed. And I guess I had the experience that when I was pregnant in COVID, and it's, you know, having a baby in COVID is quite a different experience in terms of, you know, you don't get to have all the sort of support and different, you know, play groups, etc. to go to. So I never had set out with a particular thought of how long my maternity leave would be, but I was ready to go back. I came back after 8 months, and I applied for the audit director role at Nationwide while I was on maternity leave. So I was actually coming back to quite a different role. It was a step up. It was obviously a different function in the organisation, different responsibilities, whole new team, I wasn't nervous in any way. I was excited about the opportunity. And I think, you know, you can make it work. You know, I've got, you know, a really supportive partner, got supportive sort of home life. And I think it's just going at it with a can-do attitude, and making sure that you get the right balance for you. Everyone's balance of work and life is different. And I think I've managed to strike a good balance for myself and been, you know, feel like, because sometimes I think people always feel like they sort of either compromise at work or compromise at home. And sometimes you do have to do it in both ways. But I think I've been really lucky that I've navigated it well.
I think as well, it all comes down to the person as well. I certainly saw on LinkedIn when you put the post that you was leaving, how much your colleagues and former bosses have regarded you in, you know, you can always see that on, you know, the comments they make when somebody's leaving. So I think if you've got that support within your organisation, it's always very helpful. And you've mentioned, in terms of working part-time and the flexibility of working part-time, do you feel that really these part-time roles that really you're just doing a full-time job in full-time hours, or was you actually able to sort of switch off and then just to deal with family life, or you're going back to that in the evenings?
Yeah, I mean, it's always challenging. I think it's that there is that that risk that you do, you know, you take on, like you say, you take on a 3-day-a-week role and you're doing a full-time role and squeezing it in. But I generally think, my first maternity leave was, 17 years ago. And at that point, I came back on 3 days a week. I was an internal audit at BMW, and internal audit at the time was, you know, it worked well. I could manage my audits around my working hours. The stakeholders were really supportive. I didn't feel like it made a big difference. I didn't feel like I was trying to pack everything into those 3 days. I mean, you work smarter, I think, definitely when you've got less hours and on a part-time basis. I think I've just tried to be really strict with myself. When I have worked part-time, I don't work part-time, I work full-time at the moment. But when I have worked part-time, you have to be really, have to set your boundaries. You have to sort of be really, really clear. It's not black and white. There are sort of grey areas, but I think it's important that you don't. And I think it comes down to the individual as well. I'm someone that says yes to lots of things. And I think you have to be strict with yourself, not to overcommit as well. But I'm quite good at compartmentalising home and work. I can switch off quite well, which I'm lucky, because I know that's not everyone can. So I think I've been lucky that I don't, you know, sometimes you put work into home and home into work, and I've managed to sort of in my head separate the two. And I think that's important as well, that you do, particularly when you're working part-time.
And do you think that's sort of from management training that you've had? Because, you know, everybody wants a bit of everything and of you, and you have to find out what, you know, write a list, let's say, and find out what's the most important and how to delegate that. But for probably one of your stakeholders, the importance for him is a lot higher. Do you think that's sort of more through your management training that you have been able to now deal with staff and stakeholders, or just in general it's a skill that people just have, or it's a skill to be learned?
I think it's probably a bit of both. I think some of it is test and learn, or test and fail. Sometimes I've always been someone who likes to get involved in things, and I think there's a chance that you spread yourself too thinly. And I think that's the, you know, you can do your, I think it's really important, particularly if you want to progress within an organization, your role is not just your what's in your role profile. I think as a leader, you take on extra responsibilities, you know, you get involved in extra activities. I've always got involved in employee networks, I've been involved in lots of different things across organizations, which I enjoy, and I think it's the right thing to do. But also I think it's important as part of your own development. But I think sometimes I've got to the point where I can feel that I've, you know, I'm stretching myself thin, and you need to rein it back and pull it back and really prioritize. I'm a massive fan of lists, like you say, and I think just trying to be clear in terms of what's important to you. But I was lucky when I took on the audit director role, I had an external coach. And that was, you know, that was really good in terms of just trying to work through. I don't think you don't take a coach on to develop a leadership style. You take a coach on to really help you explore your own leadership style and how you can use that to best effect. And since I've joined Nottingham, I'm really lucky that Sally Clark, who I know you've spoken to as well, is going to be my to sort of provide some mentor and coaching support as well in terms of the transition into a CIA role, and the different challenges that it brings to me as well. So that's fantastic support. That, you know, I think that's really important that you have that support from your employer as well.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more evident over the last few weeks of doing this podcast how much people are not really thinking progression of their careers, you know, people in their 40s, 50s, you know, you strive when you're younger to get to where you need to be. And then all of a sudden, right, well, where am I now? And especially within EAMS, you know, we're a massive advocate of coaching. And even when we're mentoring, it's better to be mentored, actually, somebody who's not your boss, not your teammate, you know, somebody outside of in a different team or even outside the organisation, because that, you know, just to think differently.
I also think there's different points in your career where sometimes you, like I said before, I think there's some points in your career where you're more in sort of that drive to progress more quickly, and there's times in your career where you're, you know, you want to really do a good job and explore what you're doing, but you haven't got, you know, you've got, like you say, whether it's family commitments or other commitments, you don't want to necessarily sort of climb the career ladder at that point. But I think there's always an opportunity, and when you do and you have that support around you, I think that's really important. But when you said before about the comments when I left Nationwide, which were lovely, you know, I really enjoyed working there, met lots of great people, but the one thing that really struck me, and it was a number of the sort of female audit managers came to me and had said that it'd been really inspiring to them that I'd been on maternity leave and come back and gone into a new role and still was ambitious. And I was really, really pleased with the comments, but I was also really surprised that sometimes people limit themselves in what they think they can do. And I've been there definitely in the past, that I could never get beyond that point. I just don't think I could do it. And I think I was self-limiting. And I think to be a role model, whether it's by accident or, you know, by intention, to be a role model for others and show that actually you can, there aren't limits. The only limit on your career is probably yourself in terms of what you're aiming for, what you're striving for, and what you're willing to work towards as well. And I think if you can, you know, I think it's really important. And I think, you know, it's great that there's so many female senior leaders in audit that you can show that you know there aren't barriers to your career, but it's picking those right moments and those right times for yourself in terms of when you want to explore them.
And with women having children, then I understand that priorities change, but why do you think that, you know, to go for a promotion stops women from doing so? And how would you advise them to do so?
I think it affects people very, very differently. You know, I think all parents probably have a shift in priorities when they have children, male or female as well. But I think there's that element of, particularly for the female, they're out of the workplace for a period of time in maternity leave, things change, things move on, and that's sort of coming back and reacclimatizing yourself and making sure that you regain that confidence in terms of understanding your role in the organization. I think and there's a suggestion that it impacts sort of mothers more coming back into work, and I think it's you know, I have seen it. I didn't feel it myself personally, as in I enjoyed coming back. I saw it as a really good outlet in terms of having that dual role of senior leader in the organisations, but also making sure that I sort of obviously fulfilled my responsibilities at home as well. But I know that I've had colleagues who have struggled with that in terms of, you know, sometimes if things go wrong at home and you have to take time out and take parental leave, I think it's sometimes challenging for the mothers or parents more generally to face into that and think it won't be viewed negatively. I think it all comes back to having a really supportive employer. You know, a lot of people have been in their shoes and understand the challenges that are there, and, you know, and trust them to do their role. And I think a lot of it comes down to trust. You're there. And I think, particularly in audit, you're there based upon what you can achieve, what the outcomes are, and how you support the function. And I think it's just trusting those people. Work is flexible these days. There's lots of flexibility in all of the roles. And I think it's just making sure that people have the confidence to be open and honest at work in some of those challenges, and that their employers will react, really well to them as well.
And you see, obviously some of your elder children are daughters, and I know that being a role model is hugely important to you. What in your life do you do or feel important to be a role model?
I think it's, yeah, I mean, I've got, between myself and my partner, we have three 17-year-old girls. So and I'm really, really proud. I was thinking, you know, your question earlier about achievements, the fact that that they do see both of us as role models in terms of enjoying our careers, still having ambitions in our careers, and, you know, not being afraid to take opportunities, et cetera. And I think it's, you know, the fact that my daughters are proud of me and tell me they're proud of me, I think is really important. But also that they see that I haven't faced significant barriers, and I would hope that they wouldn't. But I would also hope that they would have that sort of strength of character to fight any barriers that they did face as well. And I think, you know, the more that senior leaders, you know, within audit or elsewhere within organisations can talk about their role and some of the challenges, but also the real benefits that they have from those roles. I think it's just really important to encourage people to sometimes take a risk or to take a change or to push themselves further in their careers as well.
And things have certainly changed a lot since we were younger and growing up. I know that you're a big advocate of diversity and inclusion, but maybe you can sort of give us a little bit more detail on that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think organisations are obviously massively embracing it in terms of seeing the benefits of having, you know, different types of diversity as well in terms of gender or ethnicity, social mobility. There's lots and lots of different lenses. And I've just been, I've been proud in terms of some of the audit functions that I've worked in have had some really diverse teams. And I think that's, you know, it brings a lot to the team dynamic. It brings a lot to their sort of the thought in terms of approaching the audits. I've got a same-sex partner, that's never, ever been an issue for me in terms of bringing my whole self to work. I've never faced any barriers. I've never faced anything that's been negative in those. And I think it's just really important, again, to role model. I've been involved in the sort of the pride networks in the organisations I've worked in, really supported those. And I think it's just important as well that senior individuals can embrace their diversity as much as they're comfortable to. And share their experiences and allow people to come to them individually and share their experiences and just normalize these things. I think it is just such a, you know, my younger children's generations absolutely don't have these conversations that we might have at, you know, at our level as well. It is just for them, it's just part of life.
Sure. And it definitely has changed. A lot more people talking about it and that's you know, just being more socially aware. That's fantastic. Well, look, thank you very much for your time today. I have got a couple of quick fire questions to ask you, although I don't think you have time to do anything with six children, especially three females at the age of
17. There is a busy household.
Wow. So tell me, what do you like to do on your day off?
Lots of different things, to be honest. I'm a real homebird. I love being at home, but also we've got a camper van, so I love exploring. I absolutely love traveling, and I think it's just finding ways to, you know, to decompress, and I think that's just really important as well. So I quite like setting myself challenges. Last year I ran my first marathon, which was a huge challenge. Just finding those things that you enjoy, but also that you sort of, yeah, give yourself a bit of a target, a bit of a goal to aim for.
With your camper van, then do you just go to the UK or Europe? I mean, where's your favourite place that you've been there?
Mainly UK. We go to small festivals, which is always great. We're going to France this year, which will be, I love France. It'll be fantastic.
And all of you fit in it?
No. No, not at all. Just the young ones. I think the older ones, yeah, they don't want to go on holiday with a mum.
No.
Age 17.
And if you were to write your own biography, what would you call it?
Oh, gosh, really good question. Probably something along the lines of, not just the sort of Nike, just do it, but embrace it, enjoy it. I think it's just, that sort of something along those lines. I can't think of anything exactly, but something just to give you that confidence to say, actually, don't hold yourself back.
And are you listening to any sort of good podcasts, or what book are you reading at the moment?
Yeah, I'm a massive podcast fan, sort of always listening, driving, walking the dog, whatever it might be. I think just lots and lots of political podcasts I really enjoy. The rest is history, the rest is politics. And then also, I mean, there's some really good TED Talks you can listen to as well, and those kind of things. I just like listening. I'm quite a sort of talk radio, listening to things rather than music fan, just to keep my brain busy. So yeah, just things. And there's, you know, there's loads of fantastic sort of inspirational leadership podcasts as well. I can't think of any at the top of my head, but yeah, I just enjoy sort of exploring and then there's just some fun ones as well, just to sort of lighthearted when you need a bit of relaxation as well. So yeah, enjoying. Just enjoy exploring.
Well, look, thank you very much for your time today. It's been great to speak to you, and good luck on your new role.
Thanks very much, Hazel. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.